Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, November 14th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we herald some heroes who are actually in the front line and basically parents who are taking care of their special needs, their kids who are on the spectrum, and who are advocating to the government and basically to the Bahamian people to know that there are kids out there. They want to tell their stories. They want to basically explain what it is, how it is to take care, how it is to nurture a child on the spectrum. And I have a number of parents here, right? And I want to have a conversation with them to find out how was it hearing that your child is on the spectrum? What is the emotions that you felt? How is it taking care of your child at this present time? What is the expense? What is the life like? What should we be knowing as the general public? What should the government know as a general public? And I'm going to start my conversation with Miss Robin Meadows, right, who's a parent here. And I want to hear your story. I want to hear about your child. Who is your child? Right. Let me get to feel it and know about your child. And pull the mic a little closer. There.
Okay. My son is Venzel Meadows.
Venzel?
Yes. He is 12 years old now. And the journey with him has been a roller coaster ride. We started to notice some signs that were to us, quote unquote, abnormal at age 2.5. And so we seek to get help for him through the government. And it was a lot of turnaround because of his age. They said, well, you know, a lot of the schools that have the classes for children with special needs, they start at age 5. But me being a concerned parent and also an educator, I wanted to get the help for him as quickly as we can. And so that's when I sought to go around and find the private sector in which to help us, to help our son. And that led us to Blairwood Academy. During that time, they wanted us to get him evaluated. Again, we weren't unable to do that here because they wanted to do it when he was much older.
But let me stop you there, Ms. Meadows, right? You're an educator.
Yes.
So you understand and can appreciate where a child should be.
Yes.
In general.
Yes.
And you said you noticed some signs. What do you mean that you noticed some signs?
There were some abnormal signs where he was talking and then he stopped.
He just stopped talking altogether.
He stopped talking. And he would make sounds almost like dolphins, like a high squeak pitch, sort of. And he would do that for attention, per se, because once he get that attention, he was fine. And he would cry when he get into settings where he was, I guess, uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But we didn't know. He would do something where he would just constantly spin around, just keep spinning around.
And this is at 2 years old, he's doing
this? Yes, 2.5. He was going on to age 3. And we noticed that he wouldn't get dizzy, but he kept spinning around. And I told my husband, you know, that, I mean, kids would spin around, but they would get dizzy and fall down. Mm-hmm. But he didn't. And so that was another red flag. And then it came to certain foods he would not eat. He does not like loud sounds at all. So if there is a siren, like the fire truck or the police car, he would cover his ears and scream. Or, you know, if somebody is loud, if the radio is too loud, we notice things like that. And so they were triggers for us. And so we had to sought out help abroad. So we had to take him away to Miami Children's Hospital, where he was evaluated, and they diagnosed him with a speech and a language delay because of his age. And then we took him back at age 5. And then he was diagnosed with autism. But by that time, with the second diagnosis, he was already in school because I had to sought help from Blairwood Academy. And like I said, I called the government school, Garvin-Tines, because, you know, they have an autism unit. They told me he was too young. But I wanted him to get the help as early as possible. Mm-hmm. And I called around and I found out about Blairwood. And at that time, I spoke with the principal, Ms. Kim, and she said, well, you know, she did her own evaluation, and she said, yes, there are some signs, and we can help him. But Mrs. Meadows, he is too young.
And I want you to continue, but I want to bring in Father Tynes into this. Right. Let me get the mic there. Is your story similar? Was it round age 2? What type of signs did you see?
There were certain things that Ms. Meadows mentioned that did happen. He started off saying a few words.
At what age did he say it? So I can picture in my mind.
He would have been around about 2 years old. And then all of a sudden he lost his speech altogether. And he would only go around the room going, ee! And he would literally be uncontrollable. He would walk up and down in the church, sit wherever he wanted to do, take over the bishop's seat. on Sunday morning and literally went up and down in the sanctuary. We really didn't want to put too many constraints on him because the more we tried to constrain him, the more difficult it became. And we realized that something was wrong. We tried potty training him, and the unfortunate thing is that up until he was 4 years old, we couldn't get him potty trained. We eventually had to go to a neurologist, and the neurologist, after carrying out a series of examinations, putting the cap on top of his head and carrying him through various exercises, he finally told us that he had autism, and we were shocked because we had never heard about autism before. We didn't even know how to go about dealing with it. I remember my wife broke down in tears and wept, and I kept saying, well, he's got it. We got to try to do something. Mm-hmm. We've got to try to attempt to do the best that we can do. We started off, first of all, by going to a psychiatrist. And you would think the psychiatrist was for the little boy, but no, it's for the family.
Oh.
Because the family needed to understand that there were certain things that they needed to do in order that we could all be on one accord and doing whatever was necessary to make sure that we treated Chris the same way so that certain patterns would be set in his head. We used the picture system whereby we had to put pictures up to show him exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And then we started looking for a school, and Ms. Meadows has been fortunate to find Blairwood at the stage that she did, because for Christos, we started off by trying to get him some ABA therapy, alternative behavior therapy. And the unfortunate thing is that the place that gave it to us was connected with Florida, and the person actually used the camera system out of Florida, and they had their subordinates come down and to the school in order to carry out the sessions. The sessions last from about 9 o'clock in the morning to about 12 o'clock mm-hmm. in terms of the therapy. The problem with that is that it was incredibly expensive. It was $1,000 a week.
What do you mean? What?
$1,000 a week. And so at some point, I had to say to my family, look, even with everybody, mom, dad, the rest of the family pitching in to try and help in whatever way possible, that really became a little too much. And we decided we can't go down this route. Mm-hmm. We went on and found a speech therapist, and she started trying to do some work with him. And she said, I can't handle him, his behavior is preventing him from moving forward. In fact, we got to a stage when the speech therapist said, I'm sorry, but I don't think he's going to learn anything. I don't think he's ever going to say anything. I don't think he's really going to progress in any particular area. And before she left, she threw in the towel with regards to
Chris. How did that
make
you feel?
Devastated, because at that point, I'm trying to figure out to myself, my God, here you are faced with this huge bill in terms of therapy. You have a therapist who's telling you that you're in a hopeless situation, and your child has a behavioral problem. And somebody came along and said, hey, try Blairwood. And we took him to Blairwood for a summer. And they worked along with him. And we noticed that there were certain changes that immediately happened with him. He started to make some very good progress. Don't forget, all this time, we're still, as a family, going back and forth to the psychiatrist, who's not dealing with him, mm-hmm. but dealing with us, because she's trying to struggle to tell us we all need to be on one accord in order for us to be able to get him to move the way he needed to be. And Blairwood was kind enough to take him in. And I must say that they've done a tremendous job in terms of making sure that we move forward. But at the same time, it isn't cheap. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to speak to the Johnson stem. And I have Mr. Stephen and Melanie Johnson here. They're a couple. And I want to know, the government has a program, surely. Garvin Tynes. Everyone would say, go to Garvin Tynes. Did you ever consider using the government program?
Good morning. No, we never considered.
Pull the mic a little closer there.
Sorry. No, we never considered Garvin Tynes, because we always heard that it was an influx of students, and we knew from the break that Jalen needed to be in a very small setting. That was told to us from day one, from when he was diagnosed, that he needed to be in a small classroom setting. So Garvin Tynes was not an option for us. Jalen started at the Nassau School first before we found Blairwood. He attended the Nassau School from grades 1 to 7 until we found Blairwood. You know, like Mrs. Meadows said, the journey was not easy at all.
And I wanted to ask, is your journey similar? Was it like around 2 years old?
Yes, you found out 2 something? Going on 3.
So basically 2 years old,
yes.
There's a sign. You should be able to tell that, say, something's happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But sorry to interrupt you, and I have so much things I want to ask, right? Was 2 years old, I mean, seeking out help at 2 years old too late or late? Not too late, but late in general, in your opinion?
No, because to be honest, I didn't think anything was wrong with my child at 2. I just thought that, you know, they always say boys are slow learners or talk slower than, you know, girls do. So that was my belief, that he was just, you know, wasn't talking yet because he was still only 2. And then when he finally started school, which was Summit, which is a mainstream school. They were the ones to tell us, well, we think something is wrong with Jalen. You maybe need to get him tested. And I was offended because I was like, what do you mean? He's only 2. Like, you know, what do you mean something's wrong with him?
And Mr. Johnson, how you felt? I mean, I see the flushness in your wife's face, right? What do you mean some test my child? Yeah. You know, as man. Your wife now showing concern, they saying something is wrong with our child. And she telling you the first time, you listening the first time, you see the frustration in her face, the emotions in her first face. How did you feel as a man?
I felt, why, you know? Why this happening?
But be closer there.
Mm-hmm. I just said we got to deal with it. I just said we just have to deal with it, you know, get him tested, and whatever they say, we just have to deal with it. And that's the project, though.
And I'm listening, and I hear each one of you saying that we just have to deal with it. And I'm an emotional man, right? I don't know if I can reach to that conclusion, well, we got to deal with it so quickly. Because if you tell me my perfect child who God blessed me with, something is wrong with my perfect child who God gave me. Because when they're born, I count all the hands and all the fingers and all the toes and say, oh, come, this... It's good, right? That I would need special help for my child. I don't know if I can accept someone telling me your child would be different. And I'm hearing you. How did you conclude and say, yes, let's just deal with it?
Well, I mean, they're the professionals. So I said, let me go and get the professionals that deals with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And just had to deal with it.
So tell me, what all did you do? They tell you now, the school, someone tell you, I think you need to test your child. Give me the 2-3 steps that you did.
What I did was, they told us where to go.
Okay.
So we went there.
And where did you go?
Caribbean Center.
Okay.
Child development. I think it's Dr. Michelle.
Is that a government program?
No, Dr. Michelle Major. It's a private.
Okay.
They diagnosed him with
PDD. Yeah, PDD, which is pervasive deficit disorder, which is on the autism spectrum, but a milder version, basically dealing with delays in socialization and development. It fell on the lower end of spectrum, and they explained to us why, because he was still very young, and they didn't want to classify him as autism at two, because... Mm-hmm. He was still mm-hmm. very young. So we took him to Miami Children's Hospital the same year, and we saw Dr. Cullen, who was the head of the neurologist department at that time, and he had diagnosed Jalen with, he told us that Jalen was not autistic, but he was mentally retarded, meaning that he would always be a slow learner. So his diagnosis was different. But years later, as time goes, we would always get Jalen tested, over the years, and tested again, and he was diagnosed with autism in the Bahamas. Basically, that was our journey.
So let me
So we had two diagnoses, and then later on, a few years later, got another testing, and he was diagnosed with ADHD as well. So, but he's outgrown the ADHD. Thankfully, but he's doing well now.
Okay, and I'll bring Mr. Lloyd, who's the last parent here, right? And all of the parents here actually have their children attending Blair Wood Academy, right?
Right.
And yes. Mr. Lloyd, I want to know your journey also. And I'll change the question. The question would be basically, what is autism? And I know you're not a clinical person, but from your understanding, just so I can have my listening audience appreciate it. Give me a rundown. What is autism?
Autism is it comes in many forms. You just can't say autism is this and autism is that. There are a lot of different signs that one has to actually observe in your child. It could be speech delay. It could be no speaking. It could be acting out. Twitching of the hands, we call it stemming, where they just keep stemming, saying things, just talking, or they'll watch a TV show, and they'll rehearse that whole TV show from mm-hmm. start. Like my son, before he started speaking words, he used to watch Dora. So everything he said was in Spanish. He did a whole Dora show in Spanish, but he never said a word of English. And, he'll sit there and he'll watch that, and you'll just hear him by himself, and he'll say the whole episode. Mm-hmm. And so it comes in different forms. So you just have to understand. I'm not a specialist. I'm just saying it comes in different forms. So like Harry said, he spins around. They have learning disorders. Autism comes in many forms. So it's just some abnormalities with your child that you have to observe. And then you'll be able to make that determination. And now they have different levels. So you have some people who they may say is fully autistic, where they I just can't really do much things for themselves. Then you have some that are on the spectrum. Like my son is on the spectrum. He's fully functional. I don't have to do anything for him. He does everything for himself. Dress himself, feeds himself, tells me what he wants, rile me out. Mm-hmm. He does all of that. But he just has some development delays in terms of following instructions sometimes, in terms of like putting, the basic verb, subject agreements, those types. So like he's 15, but right now he's just doing a grade 3 work, level work. So he's on that spectrum, but he's functional. He could, everything else, just that learning disability, that's what he has.
I want to ask you, everyone so far mentioned that they had to go abroad.
Absolutely.
Did you have to go abroad too?
Yes. When my son Nathan, his journey was, like I said, we noticed the speaking delays, and then at age 1.5, he had a seizure. And so that's when his seizures started, which is connected to autism as well. They have seizures as well. And so when we came back, we met with the neurologist, and he said that Nathan could be on the spectrum, but it's too early to detect it. And so from there, he said, let's just put him in regular school. So we tried regular school for a while. He was behind. Like the Johnsons, we noticed some... It just wasn't adding up, so we went to Caribbean, now Seahorse. We went to Caribbean Development Center. And fortunately for us, they had brought in this specialist from London. She was here for about 2 weeks. So she met with him, and she did her evaluation. And she said, I want to go into the classroom with him. So she went to the classroom for a whole week with him. And she observed how he was. She said, listen, y'all wasting your money with this school here. Because we were paying for the school fee and a personal aid. So we had to pay two sets of money just so he'd get that help because he wasn't keeping up with the regular class. And she said, you're always wasting your money. You need to get him into a specialist school. But, you know, you still don't believe it. So we end up taking him, like everybody else, to Miami Children, Dr. Cullen as well. And then while we were there, we met with the speech therapist, occupation therapy, physical therapist. So and I started to take him every so often, right? And then one time, Ms. Shamika Moore, she came along. She wanted to see exactly what the tests were being done. And out of that, when she came on that trip, she developed that relationship with Miami Children, and she started a six-week camp. Yeah. So she started taking the children every year, every summer for 6 weeks, and they do all their evaluations. They do their physical therapy. They do the occupational therapy, and that helped them a lot. And so now she have that great program, that relationship with them now. And so... So that was my journey. And so it was very expensive. And, you know, so if you don't have the means, and I think that's where people on the children on the spectrum, that's where they fall down. Because you have a lot of parents, maybe we can afford to send them to Blairwood. And like the government system of Garvintown, you know, that is overpopulated. I don't know how many teachers they have per student to match per student, but if you don't have the means, and then you could be in denial. So some parents are ashamed. They end up keeping these children home. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I like to encourage them, listen, these children have an ability to learn. You just have to put them in the right environment, and there is help. And, you know, because my fear was, I'm not going to always be here to protect him. So I want to make sure if I'm not here, mommy's not here, brothers are not here, sisters are not here, he can basically take care of himself to a point. You know, so that was my whole drive. Let's get him where he needs to be so he can take care of himself.
I have a text here, and then I'm going back to you, Mr. Johnson, because they mentioned expense a couple of times. Everyone mentioned this word expense. I want to know, I need a picture in my head. What type of money are we talking about? Bregan asked right after, coming to you, Mr. Johnson. What type of money are we talking about that Bahamian people can appreciate the type of money you have to issue out? To make sure that your child get access to education and prepare for the world. And then I come back to you after that. Okay, the text goes, I noticed signs from my son was 1 year old. I went to my pediatrician, Dr. Carlos Thomas. He gave me a referral, and my journey began from there. Mm-hmm. My son presently attends Blairwood. Everything the doctor said he won't do, he has now achieved. Thank you to the teachers at Blairwood Academy. And that sounds like a testimony right there. But going back to you, Mr. Johnson, what type of money are we dealing with?
Well, you can't see. You can't see.
I just need to appreciate it. I went to private school, and private school take pricey. And I'm trying to say $1,200 is pricey. No. Are we talking about $1,200?
My son had one of his sessions.
A session, a meeting.
A session with... Caribbean, and that was like $2,500. You said that was like with for about an hour.
Let me understand what you said.
Evaluation.
You said you took your son for an evaluation, a 1 hour evaluation, right. And they charge you $2,500.
Yes, sir.
For 1 hour session to say this is
for diagnosis.
For a diagnosis.
Yes, sir.
$2,500.
Yes, sir. It's not cheap.
And then the school fee. I know the people at Blairwood. They can tell me the school fee. How much is Blairwood now?
$3,200
per term.
Per term. Every 3 months. Yeah.
That's life a key, and
an Albany type school. That's excluding the other projects that come along and right. other things.
Speech therapy, it's like you're looking at $100
plus
for about half hour.
Yeah, IXL programs.
Program, and you got to do that 2 to 3 times a week.
And then when they go on that 6 week trip, that's almost that's at least a couple thousand.
Yes, exactly. $1,000.
$5,000.
And going back to Miss Meadows, and my question is this, Miss Meadows.
Yes.
What is your greatest fear about your child? And when I say your greatest fear, you are getting older.
Yes.
You know, you have a child that you're trying to prepare.
Yes.
What is your greatest fear?
My greatest fear for Wenzel is that when we're off the scene, that we pray that he will not be taken advantage of. Amen. You know, because I like when you ask that question, what is autism? A lot of people like us, we cannot answer that question. A lot of us are not educated to the fact to know that if you see a child acting out a certain way, they're quick to say, oh, that child is quote-unquote rude, disrespectful, that kind of thing. I had an episode where I took him to the food store, and he was pushing the trolley, and my son loved cars. And so the trolley was a car.
Yes.
And he ran, and he bumped into a lady in front of us on the line. And so I turned to him and I said, you hit the lady, please apologize. So he was like, well, I'm sorry. And she was angry. Oh, he's so rude. And right then and there, I had to give her a little one-on-one, autism one-on-one, just to let her know that, hey, he's not rude, but there are certain things going on with him. And the thing about autism is that you cannot look at a child and say and see and say that they're autistic. You know, like you can look at a child and you can notice they have Down syndrome, that kind of thing. Autism is not a look. It's more or less like on the behavioral side. And so it comes with education, and we're hoping and praying that, you know, we're doing all we can right now to make sure, like Mr. Lloyd said, that he can take care of himself. I have 4 children, and my oldest son, I remember when Wenzel was 2, starting his struggles, my oldest son was 5. And it got to a point where he told us, and I quote, Mommy, take my brother back to the hospital. I want a new one. And that was because he did not understand what was going on. And at that point, me as a parent, and even though I am an educator, I too was not clear on what autism was. And so I had to do my research. I even went back to school to understand, what is this autism? What is it? And that was a way for me to help my older son to understand his brother, to also help him as well. And so we're getting older, they're getting older, and the most we want them to do is to be able to survive.
Yes.
We want them to survive without, because, you know, like you said, that's our perfect child. We don't want anybody to hurt them. We don't want them to hurt themselves. Because depending on their level, sometimes they hurt themselves. My son, at one point, he used to hit his head to the wall, you know, uncontrollably. And I understood after many years of shedding tears that that's something he could not control. It was a part of his stemming, you know. And so we as parents, we seek out help for them. And like we all said, yes, it is expensive. But at the end of the day, it's called making a sacrifice for our children, because we want them to live.
Father Tynes.
Yes, sir.
What type of help are you getting, receiving from government? Because I know that our government helps children, and our government helps what I call disabled people, right? And I want to know, what type of support and help our government is rendering you and your family in support of taking care of your child?
I have to be honest. Basically, with most of the parents around this table, they would discover almost immediately that this is a journey that you make by yourself.
You see, you're still unclear to me. I still want to know what type of help there are you receiving from our government to take care of your child?
There is no help in terms of financial support, in providing the necessary speech therapists, because the problem is that the speech therapists that we do have in the Bahamas, they're overtaxed. They don't have enough therapists to deal with the issues and the problems. When Christos was diagnosed with autism, the problem is that it was 150 out of 1,000 kids. Now the numbers have dropped in terms of males. It's now dropped down to about, 69 out of every 1,000 kids, which means that it's getting worse. And so there are more and more children who are going to be added to this list as time goes on. It's extremely costly in terms of dealing with it. I need to say to you that when I talk about, I'm not talking about giving out monies, but let's face some other things that we've had to deal with. Insurance companies. What I found very amusing is that the insurance company, when we presented them with bills from companies in Nassau for therapy, there was always some problem in paying the bill. Mm-hmm. But if they went to Miami's Children's Hospital and the bill was sent from there, they willingly and happily paid it. And so we have to think about legislation that is going to be fair towards assisting families who have autistic kids so that we can make sure that we provide some sort of regulation so that even insurance companies don't duck the bullet and expect us to pick up the tab when they're here, but they wait till you spend a fortune getting them over to Miami mm-hmm. before they decide they're going to step up to the plate and do. I think we also need to recognize the fact that as our kids get older, we have to look at what is life going to be after Blairwood.
Mm-hmm.
We've spent a lot of time talking about, well, Ms. Shamika, Ms. Kim and myself have spent time talking about Chateau Blairwood, which is actually a house that we would possibly have, a halfway house where kids would be able, who are on the spectrum, be able to go to those kind of living conditions so they could at least begin to make the adjustments to move out into the rest of the world. And again, we've had promises, but nothing concrete with regards to where we're going to go. I tell people all the time, we have a promising set of people who pass through one administration after another. But the problem is that I'd like to see some things in concrete action for us mm-hmm. if we're going to move forward. I believe that one of the biggest challenges that we face is that people don't realize by the time you finish paying for the IXL program, there are other programs that are available in and through Blairwood. By the time parents, you talk about $3,000 as a basic expense, mm-hmm. but there are other costs that are involved so that your kids could actually learn. They could move forward. My son, I thank God because he's able to read, he's able to comprehend, he's able to answer questions on his computer, he's able to communicate using his iPad to talk to the rest of the kids. He and Nathan went on a trip with Ms. Shamika and myself to go to Children's Hospital to see how things were set up there and how it could help him and whatnot. And I can tell you right now, watching somebody else's child made me realize this is really deep and really expensive for a whole lot of people. Mm-hmm. And we all have to be advocates for each other mm-hmm. at the end of the day.
And I have a phone call here, so I'll pass the caller in. And then I go to you, Ms. Johnson, to ask you one question. So let me get this caller, then I'll go back to you. Go ahead, caller.
Godly days is stuck, you know, along with you and your panel, Neary.
Hi, nice to hear you.
We need justice, law, and order in this country. I want those people, I want to say something to Father, what's his name again?
Tynes.
But first I want to say, I feel you all pain. You know, I've noticed children that has autism, like one of the persons said, that people things they are rude, but they just rude. And I teach children, so I know what's happening, right? On a voluntary base, privately, right? But I want to encourage you all, you know, and I pray that the Lord help you all, that you all be able to take care of your children. But Father Tynes.
He's listening. Father, go ahead.
I wish you would get some teacher, knowing that you responsible for a certain portion of the church, like certain teachers, people to learn to deal with autism and have them in your Sunday school. They would do a great deal for children. Allow them to teach the children, but make them to understand what autism is all about. Let them get some kind of teaching and put them in the church or various churches, and they would do a great deal. Thank you for your time.
I appreciate that, Bremen. And Father Tynes, you said that the church needed to be more involved.
Yeah, the church is involved. I know when I was at St. Barnabas, because my son was autistic, they finally discovered what it was all about, that it was a brain disorder, that he was not, he was nonverbal and autistic, but he was also able to communicate with them by other means. And what I found is that the congregation itself began to grow and develop, and they began to accept him more and more. It got to the stage that when he started serving around the altar as a boat boy, which he's still doing to this very day, even though we've moved on to St. Matthew's, he's still the boat person who serves there. The good thing about it is that we see that a congregation can really either make or break a whole lot of these children.
I understand.
Okay?
Okay, the music is playing, so that means we have to do a brief break. But on the other side of the break, Ms. Johnson, I have a texter. I'm going to read that. Let me read that one time. Support. I cried because the government has neglected to meet the needs of children with autism. I have taught for 18 years selflessly, but couldn't get help for my son. The resources and support is almost non-existent. And I want to ask you, Ms. Johnson, you loving your child and you walking about the community, how do people react to your son? How do you feel as you go through traverse to the food store, as you go to church, and people see your son and you holding hands? How does that interaction? I want to know about that interaction. But anyway, this is Guardian Radio AM, and we'll be right back after this brief break.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Live again.
Okay. They moved it.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Neary, and we're talking to some parents who have their kids at Blairwood Academy, and they have children who are on the spectrum. And before the break, I was asking Ms. Johnson about her interaction as a mother when she takes her child out socializing him. And I want to know about that interaction. So I'll let you speak on that.
Okay. Well, Jalen he's 15 now, so he's I would say he has a lot more control of his characteristics. But when he was younger, of course, like Mrs. Meadow said, it was challenging going to the stores. He was very active. And like she said, a few times I had incidences with
persons and would have to, you know, tell them, you know, same thing, you know, your child is rude. And I would tell them, he's not rude. You know, you don't know him. You don't know what he's dealing with. You know, my child is autistic. So they would then be, you know, kind of ashamed, you know. But it's not been easy. But I've grown to accept that a lot of Bahamians aren't educated about autism. So you just learn to, you know, accept it because they don't know.
And what do you think we should do to do more in order to get the public to know that autism is here? And that's where I'm going to go with Mr. Lloyd, so prepare yourself. But I want to know, what can we do more? What can the government do more? What would you like to be done? What would you recommend to be done?
Right. Well, you know, there is, we have Autism Awareness Month in the month of August. So I think we can push that to make awareness a little bit more, you know, for people. We can do more seminars, more, you know, teaching that even in schools, in government schools, learning children how to deal with other children that's not normal per se or like them, and just knowing how to take care of them and how to handle them and to, you know, just understand that they're different and it's okay.
Okay. Now you, Ms. Lloyd, from this conversation, I'm noticing a trend. All of you have boy children. I heard earlier that speaking to Father Tynes, that the numbers regarding Bahamian children with autism is increasing. Something is happening. Yeah. And whatever is happening is attacking our young boys. Should we be concerned? Is this something that we need to sound an alarm and say, hey, government people, hey, we need to start testing early. You know, we need to be in a panic. We need to be in a frenzy. We need to make sure these evaluations happen. Is this something that we need to be making noise about?
Yes, absolutely correct. I think we, and then like we all said, it's expensive. So, and then you have a lot of parents who don't know. So making awareness, like shows like these, we need to speak about it more. I think government and corporate Bahamas to get involved in terms of funding shows, funding seminars, funding symposiums. So you get these people in. Sometimes you have to bring in, because we know we have a limited pool of professionals who deal with autism or personal. So we bring in persons, qualified people into our systems, in our school system. We need teachers. We need persons in the medical field. Basically put them in the public hospital so that those who can't afford it. And I think if we have it available, then you could say, okay, go see Dr. So-and-so. Go see this person for the speech. Go see this person for a speech therapy and evaluation. Make it available. Make it, let the public know it's available. I believe there are so much more. This is just the stat that we have accounted for. But how many persons keeping their children at home that we don't know about being mistreated, you know?
I'm concerned about the family island.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and they just keep them home and, you know, they teach them little stuff, but you go in family, and I'm sure you could find a lot of children who are just home, and they probably have them doing stuff around the yard. But you know, it's just making it awareness, bringing it to the Bahamian public, let them know it happens, it's a real thing, it exists, and children are being affected. So we need to put in programs. Then another thing that I think after our children would have finished Blairwood, when they reach that age where Blair would say, "Listen, he's 18 now, he has to go somewhere else."
Yeah.
Where do we send them after that?
I'm concerned too.
You know,
I'm 15 year old. What's your child?
Do? We don't
12
have
years
nothing
old.
Else. You know, nothing else. No. Like I know, Father Tani talked about.
The good thing about Blairwood is this, which, which a lot of parents don't understand, is that Blairwood is prepared to carry them to 23.
Mm-hmm.
They have spoken to me because my son has been there for quite a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
They've also tried to make connections with tertiary level institutions in Florida to try and bring them in.
Right.
O'Neill just had a special gathering so that they could try and get some of the autistic kids to be a part of that program. But they are also trying to develop a connection with them so that there's a flow of information and teachers and therapists back and forth between the school and also between there. So I don't want people to think at 18, Blairwood heartlessly throws your child out to the wolves. at that particular point, but there's still room and ground for them to be able to move on.
Before we go, Ms. Meadows, I want to ask you this. Is there any support, autism support group, association, that all of the parents would come together and share information and say, this is the best technology, this is the best systems, anything like that exists?
Well, I know for us parents at Blairwood, we have a lot of seminars and workshops going on within the school.
Okay.
But out there, we have the REACH.
REACH?
Yes. What's the REACH program? It's a program where it's for parents. They come together and they have meetings. They try to encourage parents. I don't know how often they meet. I went to like two of the meetings and it's pretty good. We just need, like everyone is saying, we need the public to be aware of what is going on, because the program is there. They just need to reach out to be a part of it.
And I get a text which has some recommendations and I can read that. But I want to say that there's Kiwanis out there. There's Rotary International there. And they're always looking for programs to donate to. I mean, as an association, as parents, have any of you yet to reach out to say, hey, Kiwanis, we can need some help over here?
We've had them come in.
Okay.
They have been certain of the groups. I don't want to...
No. Those are my two favorite groups. That's why I mentioned them.
We've reached out. They've reached out to us. They've had their people come in.
Okay, evaluate.
Give support and to help their kids as well. And we do appreciate everything that the rest of the community can possibly do for us, but there's still more that possibly can be done.
Absolutely. Okay. Go ahead. Let me just read the recommendations. Then I want to hear about what you all are planning for this weekend, right? So the recommendation that this text was sent was, one, have availability of testing and therapists. Two, professional development for teachers in schools. Three, more units in schools, but also push inclusive education. For scholarship opportunities for schools like Blairwood, because there are a lot of parents out there who can't afford to get the access, like how you're getting the access, right? Five, personnel in public sector trained to deal with children and adults with autism. And I think they have six transitional schools for teenagers with autism. I mean, these are great ideas. Yeah. And I'm not sure if any of these are happening, but definitely these are... something to write down and say, these are the things we want government to help us with, want these civic organizations to help you with. But going back to the program that you all plan to have, on, and which day is it, first of all?
It's on Saturday, November 26th.
I'll be quiet. You tell me. Just go ahead.
Saturday, November 26th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Blairwood is having a pop-up business fair. They had one last year and it was awesome. This is where the children themselves, they come up with a business plan.
The children come up with a business plan.
Yes. And you come and you buy, you support them, because who knows, that might be their future. So when you come to this, it's going to be at St. Matthew's Church grounds, Saturday, November 26th. And they have lots of stuff. They have children making jewelry, candles, soaps, T-shirts, pastries, photo booths. It's crazy. It's good. It's awesome. The one they had last year was awesome. And so it's something to promote and help the children as well, because like we're all saying, we don't know what's going to happen to them in the future. So if this pop-up business plan kicks off, then this is a future that they can follow, they can lead, they can have. And so we encourage people to pop on by and support the children of Blairwood Academy.
Just a reminder, that is November 26th, right? They're going to have a business pop-up where the children actually showcase the business ideas they came up with, and they'll be basically selling their wares or their services.
Along with their parents and the Blairwood teachers. You know,
the parents are involved in this too?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
So if I come, then y'all could be there with support.
We're going to be there.
Okay. I mean, I'm impressed with that. And this is... November 26th, what time is again?
10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
So that's basically all day at St. Matthew's Church. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And see, this is something that is important to me, right? Because I have family members who are going through the same thing. I have friends who are going through the same thing, where to this day, even though their child are developing, there are days when they lose it and they cry, overwhelmed.
Yeah.
can't, don't know where to go, don't know how to support. And to know that there is a network of parents at Blairwood and that y'all are working with each other, y'all understand what each parent is going through,
yes.
And that you are coming up with ideas in terms of, I will help you because I went through the same thing, is very important,
yes.
To me. So guess who's going to have the last word? Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson's going to have the last word. Just recommendations in general, what you want the Bahamian public to know, that you, what type of support you need, what type of support people who have children going through autism need.
I would just like the public to Google and make themselves aware, because, I mean, it can happen to anyone. You know, no one is exempted from it. No one. You know, I would never thought, but, and then it makes you appreciate.
Yes.
You know, the way you are.
Yes.
You know, more. You know, and then you look at, you have some of these autistic children. I mean, if you tell them something now and 20 years later you ask them the same thing, they remember.
They remember. So they're capable of learning, they're capable of surviving by themselves. We just need to show that support.
And then you have a lot of people out there that, the doctor told us that he have a lot of doctors and lawyers that are on treatment.
Mr. Johnson and panel, I appreciate you coming on today. This has been Guardian Radio the AM with C.A. Nuri. And November 26th, I shall be out to St. Matthew's Church with my money and to support the kids.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you.